There's a famous Hollywood actor named Jim Carrey, and he said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything that they've ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer. You may reach all your goals. You may be the richest person in the world. You may have everything your heart desires. It's going to leave you empty. But in the presence of God is fullness of joy. That's His desire for us.
Welcome back to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. Today, we will hear from America Pray Now leader, Josiah Alway.
Last week, we began a series on Jesus' prayer from John chapter 17. We saw how Jesus sought to glorify the Father, and he even prayed for this before facing the cross. And we too should seek and even pray for the opportunity to glorify the Lord. Now, today, we're going to see that as he's about to face the cross, he pours out for others in prayer, praying first for his disciples, and then later praying also for all who would come to believe, which includes you and me. We covered John 17, verses 1 to 5 last week, and now we've come to verse 6, and we're going to read all the way to verse 19. Now, it's a bit of reading, but think about Jesus' words. This is Jesus praying. You want a glimpse into Jesus' prayer life? Listen to these words. Verse 6, I've manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and all yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And we're going to pause there. And we're going to see in this section, as Jesus is praying for his disciples, he makes different statements, but he makes a number of requests. And I want to focus on three requests that Jesus is bringing before the Father. The first is that Jesus prays for their protection, for the protection of his disciples. In verse 11, he asked the Father to keep them. Jesus loves his disciples. He cared for them, and he prays, keep them through your name. He's praying not so much for their physical protection, but rather that they would be kept in him. And later, he asked the Lord in verse 15, he asked the Father to keep them from the evil one. Physically, the disciples are going to suffer. Later, Bartholomew is going to be according to church tradition, flayed alive and beheaded in Armenia. Peter's going to die on a cross. Thomas is going to be speared to death. Matthew is going to be stabbed in Ethiopia. And so many other of the disciples are going to be burned and beaten and sawn asunder. But Jesus is praying that they would be kept in him, kept as his followers, as his disciples, and in verse 15, kept from the evil one. Shortly before Jesus prayed this prayer, when he was with his disciples in the upper room, in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32, Jesus says to Peter, "Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." And again, a short while after that, we come to John 17, and once again, he's praying, "Keep them from the evil one." He's praying for their spiritual protection. We too should follow in Jesus' example and pray for other believers to be kept, to be protected. How often do you pray for your pastor to be protected from the attacks of the enemy? Or for your kids? We're engaged in a spiritual war. Satan, the Bible says, walks to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He seeks to destroy God's people, but he can do nothing unless God allows it. And we are to fight, we are to battle in prayer as Jesus did for his disciples. I'll never forget, some years ago, I was in the nation of Pakistan, and we had preached to about a crowd of about 3,000 people. I had preached a very, very basic gospel message. Many responded to the gospel. And after the message was done, a group of pastors and myself, we went into the crowd and we prayed for and with as many people as we could. There were pastors from all different denominations, everywhere from Anglican to non-denominational to Pentecostal, many, many different denominations present and all working together for the gospel in Pakistan. And that night I saw things that I'd read about in the scripture, but I myself had never seen them before. People delivered from demonic possession and many incredible things. And as we returned back to where we were staying, we were walking from this venue. It was a soccer field. It was late at night. And one of the pastors said to us, "We should stop here. We had come under this tree." He said, "We should stop here and we should pray for our families." And he began to explain the spiritual battles that take place. And right then and there, late that night, after preaching, after praying with people, we gathered with a group of pastors of many different denominations, many different backgrounds. We each began to pray individually for our own families. And my wife and kids were thousands of miles away. But there we were praying, "Lord, protect our family from the attacks of the evil one." And almost every single night when I put my kids to bed, I pray, protect them spiritually and naturally as well. But that's what Jesus taught us to do. And he says, keep them through your name. He didn't say keep them through an angel or keep them through their own effort. Keep them through your name, the character and authority of God. No one can stand against God. Satan has no power against the character and the authority, the name of God. So we should pray for our fellow believers as Jesus did for his disciples. And then secondly, he prayed that they would have joy. He prayed that they would have joy. In verse 13, that my joy would be fulfilled in them, he says. Jesus was the most joyful person to ever walk the earth. He had a life filled with joy. When he said, "My joy," he could speak of it because he had the fullness of it. Yes, Jesus was, as Isaiah 53:3 says, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But even still, through trials, through difficulties, he had a joy that surpassed all of that, a satisfaction in life. His joy was rooted in an unbroken fellowship with his Father. His joy was the fruit of true faith and confidence in the Father. His joy came from seeing the great things that God had done. His joy was never diminished by his own sin because he never sinned. He was perfect. His joy was never diminished by deception because he was never deceived. His joy was never diminished by allowing even the smallest foothold of the devil. If Jesus was so concerned for joy among his disciples that he prayed for it to be full in them, we can know that he also is concerned about your joy and the joy of your brothers and sisters in your congregation. God wants to multiply joy in our lives. The world, the flesh, the devil would all tell us something different. But God wants his joy to be full in us. So many times, even believers fall into the trap of seeking for joy in money or in fame or in something more that this world offers. But those things are only temporary. The psalmist writes, "In your presence is the fullness of joy." God wants us to experience his presence, and there is the fullness of joy. Romans says that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And yet so many times, even believers look to the temporal things of this life, and there we try to find our joy. There's a famous Hollywood actor named Jim Carrey, and he said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything that they've ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer." You may reach all your goals. You may be the richest person in the world. You may have everything your heart desires. It's going to leave you empty. But in the presence of God is fullness of joy. That's his desire for us. And Jesus is saying, may they experience this joy. We need to pray for that. We need to seek God and also pray for our brothers and sisters to experience what this world cannot give us. And then thirdly, Jesus prays for their sanctification. In verses 17 to 19, he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify means to be holy, to be set apart for God's pleasure or for God's use. It also implies to be holy, set apart from the corruption of the world, less of me and more of the nature and character of Christ, dying to who I am and the character and nature of Christ growing in me. And he says the way that this will happen is by your truth. The truth read, heard, understood, applied. Charles Spurgeon said, "The more truth you believe, the more sanctified you will be. The operation of truth upon the mind is to separate a man from the world under the service of God." In this passage, as Jesus is praying for the disciples to be sanctified, it includes, but it certainly is not limited to just being holy in the sense of dying to our sin nature, dying to ourselves and becoming more like Christ. It also means to be set apart for God's purpose, to complete God's mission in a sense, because he says, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself." Jesus was perfect. Jesus was perfect. He was sanctifying himself, meaning he was being set apart to be used of the Father to overcome sin and death through the cross. He was giving himself to be used of God, and he's praying that they too would be set apart for God's purpose, for God's glory. Here's a prayer to pray. Sanctify us, O Lord. Set us apart to complete your will for our lives, that we may bring glory to your name. Maybe as a pastor, your prayer is, sanctify my congregation. Make our congregation holy. And also set apart to be used by you. Or maybe as a parent, you pray for your children, sanctify my children. No matter what you're going through, maybe you're going through a trial, maybe you, as Jesus said, are bearing your cross daily. Whatever you're going through in your life today, do as Jesus did as he was about to face the cross and pray for others. What do I pray for? Here are three things that Jesus prayed for. For his disciples, he prayed for their spiritual protection, that they would have the fullness of joy, and he prayed for their sanctification. May we pray for the same thing.
Thank you for listening to the America Pray Now podcast. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, we also publish a magazine on prayer, which is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. You can sign up to receive this magazine by visiting our website at americapraynow.com. We also meet in 17 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also meet in West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Please see our website for dates and times. And until next time, may God bless you.